That was beautiful, wasn't it? I'm the father of three grown daughters. I remember when we had our first daughter about 30 years ago, my wife and I received a little card in the mail. And the card said, "Your new baby daughter will bring you the happiest days of your life. And then she'll start dating." After I chuckled about that, it hit me. A real sober reality. I'm going to raise a daughter, and I don't know anything about it. And so I began a journey about 30 years ago of looking to God's Word, seeking out great women in the Scriptures, and looking for characteristics and traits in their lives that I could understand and put my hands around, and somehow seek to transfer those traits and characteristics to the daughter, and then ultimately the daughters got entrusted to me. As I would go through this exercise off and on from time to time through the years, always Christmas would bring me back to the obvious story of a wonderful and a special young woman. You know who I'm talking about, Mary. And when you look at the whole Christmas story and you look at Mary, you'll find all types of wonderful traits and characteristics in her life. I wish I could take the time to talk to you about all of the traits I've discovered. But this morning, I only want to point out to you three traits in this very special young woman. For you see, Mary was a young woman of purity. Mary was a young woman of faith. And Mary was a young woman of reflection. Please turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, and stand out of honor for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what type of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the living Lord our God will stand forever. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage. We thank you for all the hidden meaning that we can find within. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. We pray, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts and our minds. And we pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in each of our lives. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First characteristic I'd like to call to your attention this morning, as I said previously, Mary was a young woman of purity. Really, we know very little about Mary and her background except what we find in the passage this morning and then, of course, in the more complete account in Matthew and then in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke. Most of what we know we find, though, in these passages. And we find something specific about Mary that's sometimes a little awkward to talk about in our modern culture today. But back then, it was very common. We find that Mary was specifically described as a morally pure young woman, in particular, a virgin. And we find that she was a virgin and that God used and chose her to fulfill his prophecy that you find in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. There the Lord, 700 years before the birth of Christ, said the following, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." We see that God chose Mary for all types of reasons to be his instrument for this very specific and delicate task. But one characteristic in particular that qualified her was that she was morally pure. She was a virgin. And God chose and desired a woman of purity to bear his son. And just as he desired a woman of purity to bear his son to fulfill prophecy, I believe that God desires a people of purity to be his image bearers to a lost and fallen world. And so the question comes, if God desires a people of purity to be his image bearers to a lost and fallen world, how do I become a person of purity? How do I be a person who's pure from the inside out? And I think we first of all need to realize that God's called us to be a people of repentance and faith. We first have to come to know the Lord in a very real and a very personal way. In Psalm 51, David, after he had sinned greatly, wrote the following psalm of repentance, just picking out a few highlights. In Psalm 51, David says to God, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sins." David was well aware of the compassion of God. David knew that God had made promises from the beginning of time that he would show compassion to his people. And that compassion would be found in the person of his son, the very Lamb of God. And so as David was looking to compassion, he was looking by faith forward to the coming Messiah. And he was looking to God to show compassion to David through the work of the Lamb of God who would be the sacrifice for man's sin. And so David is looking forward by faith to the fulfillment of God's promise. But also David's repentant in the own sins that he has in his own life. Listen to this. He says, "Wash me clean from my guilt." Notice how personal David speaks. "Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night. Against you, God, you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight." David says, "I was born a sinner." He was a sinner by nature. He knew that. And he was a sinner by deed. He knew that. David says, "Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Create in me, O God, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. You would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I'd bring them to you. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart, O God." If you desire to be a person of purity, the first step is to seek out and experience personally the compassion of God. And that compassion is found through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second step to becoming a person of purity is to hide the Word of God in your heart. David, writing again, said, "How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your Word and following its rules. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your principles." Well, his principles are found in his Word. "I have recited aloud all the laws that you have given us. I have rejoiced in your decrees as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your principles, and no longer will I forget your word." You want to be a person of purity, you need to spend time in the Word of God. Hide it in your heart so that you might not sin against the Lord. Let me give you one more thought to becoming a person of purity. First, accept the compassion of Christ. Second, hide His word in your heart. Thirdly, seek to maintain a pure thought life. The Apostle Paul said, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, let your mind dwell on these things. We need to guide the gateway to our minds and our hearts, and we need to protect them by thinking upon the things that please God. Right thinking is essential to personal purity. Mary was a young woman of purity. Mary also was a young woman of faith. Imagine being a young woman. Now, I can't imagine that, but I can try. Imagine being a young woman and you're in your room one night and you're planning your wedding. Now, I've been through two weddings with two daughters, and I know there's a lot of work and a lot of planning that takes place. They'd go in their room and they'd look through wedding magazines and they'd think about marriage and prepare for marriage. And so here's Mary sitting in her room preparing to marry Joseph. And out of nowhere appears an angel, Gabriel. That scared me to death. What about you? This angel appears to Mary and he says, listen, something very special is going to happen to you. You're with child. But wait, I'm a virgin. How can that be? The Holy Spirit's going to do a mighty work in you. And you're with child, and you're going to give birth to this child. Now, can you imagine the shock and the fear that Mary experienced? I'm sure it was very frightening. It says, as a matter of fact, that she was troubled and greatly afraid. Who wouldn't be? All of us would be. She hears this news from this angel, and what we have now is a young woman in crisis. An unexpected pregnancy, impossible to explain. Now, in this day and age, there were options for a woman like this. I believe the first option is the same option that many young women face today in our culture. And that option was she could do away with the child. I believe that was possible even back then. But I do think that it was a very dangerous thing to do, and more than likely, most of the women not only would lose the child, but would probably lose their own lives. The second option, which was customary of that time, is the young woman could be stoned for her sin by the people in her community, stoned to death. A third option that you read about in Matthew that Joseph wrestled with is he could put her away. Could put her away secretly. She could have her child and raise her child. And they would be doomed to a life of poverty and isolation for as long as they lived. It's an incredibly frightening situation. And in the midst of this incredibly frightening situation, God gives Mary three faith handles that she grabs hold of, and they walk her through this amazing experience. The first faith handle you find in verse 35, it's a promise. God says through the angel, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God gives her a great promise. He says, look, this is going to be a tough situation, but the Holy Spirit will guide you through that. He'll give you the means and the words to say to handle this situation. And not only will the Holy Spirit come upon you, but the very power of God will overshadow you as you walk through this experience. That's a great promise. That's a comforting promise to Mary. The second faith handle that the Lord gives is perspective. He wants her to have a broader perspective than just she's going to give birth. Verse 32 says, describing the child. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Dropping down to 35. And this holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. What the angel says to Mary is, put your faith on this. That God is going to do something amazing through you. that will impact all of the history of mankind. And that's a great perspective. And I believe that was a perspective that helped her to endure the next few months of a very trying situation. He gave her a promise. He gave her a perspective. The third thing he gave her was a partner. He gave her a relative, Elizabeth. He says, your relative, Elizabeth, who's old and who's barren. Guess what? In an amazing way, kind of like you, she's with child. Now, Mary was walking through what we would call an immaculate conception. Elizabeth was going to walk through what I would call a miraculous conception because of her age and her condition. Both of these will be hard to understand and especially hard to explain. Imagine being Mary and trying to explain, I'm a virgin, but I'm pregnant. Imagine being an older woman who's barren and saying, I'm barren, but I'm pregnant. And imagine people listening to that and what they would think. For both of these women, this would be a challenging experience to walk through. But together they could walk through it because of faith. As they placed their faith in the Word of God, His promises, as they placed their faith in eternal perspective, as they placed their faith in the partnership and community He created between the two of them, they could walk through this situation. You may be walking through an experience right now that requires great faith. Maybe this economy has hit you hard. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you have a cancer. Maybe your marriage isn't what you had hoped it would be. Maybe you have a child who's not following the plan that you have for their lives. Whatever the experience is that you're walking through, look for the faith handles that God's given so that you can get through them. You see, God's made you promises. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'd give you, as Laura sang, perfect peace. He said, He loves you. That's a promise. And then there's perspective. God can take your trial, your experience, and use it to bring Him glory. And if you can gain that perspective that God is doing something wonderful through this, it gives you the faith to walk through. And then God gives partners. In a faith community like this, in a small prayer group or a Bible study or a men or a women's group, you can connect with partners who will help you walk through the challenges the Lord has for you. You need to look for faith handles. Grab hold and hold tight. Notice Mary's response. It was sweet, it was simple, it was submissive to the will of God. Mary said, behold the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. Wow. A simple young woman of faith. A special young woman of purity. And then finally, Mary was a young woman of reflection. Consider all that would happen to Mary over the next few months. She's a young, engaged woman looking forward to her future, and an angel invades her life and he says, you're a virgin, but you're pregnant. Your cousin or your relative, she's barren, but she's pregnant. And you're going to have the very Son of God. And then she has to move herself to Bethlehem, which I'm sure in that day and time was a hard journey for a woman in her condition. And she gets to Bethlehem and there's nowhere for her to have her child, and she has him in a manger. And then some shepherds have angels appear to them, and they say, glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to man. There's a baby born, and they follow a star, and here come these shepherds, and they worship your child. Wow. Can you imagine what that must have been like? How did she respond? Well, the scriptures say, it bookends this story in a way that's interesting, that she pondered these things. She treasured them in her heart. She reflected upon them. Chapter 1 of Luke, verse 19, she pondered these things in her heart. Chapter 2, verse 19, I believe, or 12, it says that she treasured them in her heart and she pondered them, all of those things. What did she ponder? Do you think when Mary held that little baby, she knew he really was the Son of God? Do you think when she looked in his eyes, she saw the eyes of the Savior? Do you think she, when she held his little hands and feet, that she knew this is God's promise? What do you think she thought when she kissed him on his little lips? Wow. She reflected on these and she thought about them. Max Lucado, I think, really helps, at least me, picture in my mind the reflection of Mary. He calls this little brief essay, Mary's Prayer. Let me share it with you to close our service. God, infant God, heaven's fairest child, sleep well, sleep well. Bask in the coolness of this night bright with diamonds, sleep well, for the heat of anger simmers nearby. Enjoy the silence of the crib, for the noise of confusion rumbles in your future. Savor the sweet safety of my arms, for a day is soon coming when I cannot protect you, says Mary. Rest well, tiny hands, for though you belong to a king, you will touch no satin, own no gold, you will grasp no pen, no guide, no brush. Not your tiny hands. They're reserved for works far more precious. Your tiny hands will touch a leper's open wound. They'll wipe a widow's weary tear. They'll claw the hand. The hand will claw the ground of Gethsemane. Your hands so tiny, so tender, so white, clutched tonight in an infant's fist, they aren't destined to hold a scepter nor wave from a palace balcony. They're reserved instead for a Roman spike on a Roman cross. Sleep deeply, tiny eyes. Sleep while you can, for soon the blurriness will clear and you'll see the mess we've made of your world. You'll see our nakedness, for we cannot hide. You'll see our selfishness, for we cannot give. You'll see our pain, because we cannot heal. O eyes that will see hell's darkest pit and witness her ugly prince, sleep. Please sleep. Sleep while you can. Lay still, tiny mouth. Lay still, mouth from which eternity will speak. Tiny tongue that will summon the dead, that will define grace, that will silence our foolishness. Rosebud lips upon which ride a starborn kiss of forgiveness to those who believe and death to those who deny. Lay still. And tiny feet cupped in the palm of my hand rest, for many delicate and difficult steps lie ahead for you. Do you taste the dust of the trails you will travel? Do you feel the cold sea water upon which you will walk? Do you retch at the invasion of the nails you will bear? Do you fear the steep descent down the spiral staircase into Satan's domain? Rest, tiny feet. Rest today so that tomorrow you may walk with power. Rest, for millions will follow in your steps. And tiny little heart, holy heart, pumping the blood of life through the universe, how many times will we break you? You'll be torn by the thorns of our accusations. You'll be ravaged by the cancer of our sin. You'll be crushed under the weight of your own sorrow. You'll be pierced by our rejection. Yet in that piercing, in that ultimate ripping of muscle and membrane, in that final rush of blood and water, you'll find rest. Your hands will be freed. Your eyes will see justice. Your lips will smile. And your feet will carry you home. And there you'll rest, this time in the embrace of your Heavenly Father. Do you long to rest in the embrace of your Heavenly Father? May we pray. With our hearts bowed, the first step to enjoying the arms of God is to become that person of purity. Not your own purity, not your own righteousness, but the very purity and righteousness of Christ. It's offered to you. Won't you pray this simple prayer with me? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and come into my life. And make me the kind of person you want me to be. Forgive me for the sin in my life, my sin, and become my Savior and Lord. And maybe as a believer you realize today that personal purity needs to be one of the highest goals, the highest ambitions. Won't you commit yourself as a Christian to be an image bearer of purity for a lost and fallen world? Father, help me walk in the power of your Spirit. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.